Well, thank you, Leah. We sure miss her here. They haven't been on gone all that long time, but it's good to have them back tonight. Good message and song. God's good in the valley. That's what the 23rd Psalm says, the valley of the shadow of death, but he goes with us. Amen. And he goes through with us, all the way through it. All right. Tonight, I understand what a lot of folks got their mind on, probably birthday cake and something like that. And I heard that. Amen. And I'm going to consider it because I know what it meant. It meant, please hurry up. Somebody that says that needs the most preaching of anybody. Now let's hear that amen again. All right, I want you to go to the Psalms. We're going to just be a little bit in the Psalms tonight, and I'm going to take into consideration that fellow's feelings, knowing that it's probably multiplied across several of the rest of you that wasn't bold enough to say amen with him. Psalm 71. Let's go to Psalm 71, and then keep your Bible open to the Psalms. We're going to look at maybe some other verses before we get through here tonight. I think about this, and I know what young people, you know, they worry about somebody. Well, somebody is really old, you know, and how they, you know, they don't quite understand that. What's the secret to old age and that sort of thing? I think about the news reporter that was over in St. Petersburg. You know, that's where all the old folks are supposed to live, over in St. Petersburg, Florida. But anyway, they approached an old guy on the bench, and the reporter did and said, look, said, I'd like to interview you a little bit. Said, I'd like to know what the secret to old age is, and your long life and old age. I'd like to know the secret. What kind of lifestyle have you lived? And he said, I smoke 2 packs a day. He said, drank beer all the time and hardly ever ate any vegetables. And they said, really? He said, just how old are you? He said, 38. Now, young people, you ought to pay a little attention maybe to that. You probably should have. I want you to look in Psalm 71. We're just going to kind of cherry pick a few verses here tonight. And I tell you what, I get a lot of comfort out of the Psalms. David talks a lot about how God was with him in his youth, but he carries it all the way on through to how God is with him in his old age. And that's a blessing. And he says in verse 9 of chapter 71 of Psalms, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Drop on down to verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Going way back. Hereto I have declared thy wondrous works. Then he says, now. He's no longer young. Now, verse 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Until, he says, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. David said, I want to do the job before I leave. I want to show you and be a testimony for you. Show your blessings to others. That's basically what he was saying. As I read some of these verses, it's good to know God still cares. God still uses people, no matter how many birthdays they stack up. And David here was referring all the way from his youth to old age and all the way through his life. If you remember the story of David, he was anointed king as a young person. To the shock of everybody, all of his big brothers walked before the prophet, but the prophet said, God spoke to him, said, no, not these. And don't you have one more? And so Jesse said, yeah, there's one young one out there watching the sheep, said, send for him. And of course, that was David. And David, all the way through the Psalms, talks about how the Lord was with him all the way from his youth up. Now, David, like all other men, had his struggles. Job said, man that is born a woman is for a few days and full of trouble, and that is life. Life is a struggle. But I just want to say, mostly to the young people probably tonight, getting old's not so bad. Don't fear it too much. In fact, some of it's fun. A lot of it has to do with what we make out of it. Do you know that? It really, really does. People that have a sense of humor get by a lot better. I think about the elderly grandma went to the funeral, and you know how it is at funeral. Everybody's shaking hands, and I've accused the undertaker of, when he shakes hands with me, he runs his finger up and feels my pulse. Now, I've joked with him some about that, but she said to him, he said, "Granny, how old are you?" And she told him about 89 or something. And she looked him in the eye and she said, "It's not hardly worth the trip of me going home, is it?" And she had a sense of humor about it, you know. And that helps. It helps to have that. I've observed this. Some folks grow old and bitter. Shouldn't do that. But you can grow old and rejoice in the blessings of God, like David did. I've noticed sometimes, I think about older folks have a sharp wit about them still, young folks. Don't trust them too much. They may outsmart you. Better watch it. I heard about the old man that bumped into a young man's car, and the young friends was around, but the owner of the car wasn't. So the old man got out of the car, and he began to write a note to stick under the windshield wiper of the car he'd bumped. And the note said this when the young driver got back. He said, "All your young friends are watching me, and they think I'm writing my name, my phone number, and my insurance number on this slip, but I'm not." Sometime you got to watch out. I had an uncle. Indulge me. It's my birthday, all right? Indulge me a little bit. I had an uncle, Uncle George. I went all the way up to Georgia and had his funeral a few years ago. Uncle George was a card. He was always happy about something. He was a great fisherman, only in that area of Georgia, not many places to fish, just a little creek here or there out through the woods. But he had a few spots, and he seemed to always come back with them. And he was known to be a good fisherman, so I asked him one time. In fact, it's been a long time ago. My wife and I had just been married about 100 years ago, and we went up there on our honeymoon. We was eating breakfast with Uncle George and his wife. And I said, "Uncle George, you just got such a reputation of catching fish. How many did you ever catch?" He said, "Well, I don't know what my record was." But he said, "I noticed one time I was catching them so fast that I wore a hole out in the water." He just had a sense of humor, man. I had a cousin that was meticulous. You know what ladies could be? I mean, her house was spotless, no dust, I mean, everything in place. When you went to spend the night and you went in the restroom, you didn't dare touch those towels. You knew they were there for decoration. Right? You know what I'm talking about? For looks. That's the way she was. But Uncle George went over to her house, knowing the way she was, and went over there one afternoon, and she wasn't home for some reason. And he went in the house, and he just very delicately and quietly changed some things around. Changed the little whatnot things on the shelves. Changed a few things in the kitchen. Just changed. The average person would not know the difference. But when she came home, she walked in and said, "What has happened to my house?" Nobody knew, but Uncle George had been there, and he hadn't taken anything. He hadn't broken anything. He just rearranged it. He had a sense of humor like that. It's good to know some folks like that once in a while. And people can have a, and let me say this, young folks, it's not so bad growing old. People humor you. I'm beginning to like that. They'll let you go first. They will, I was preaching somewhere not long ago, and I was sitting on the front row waiting for the pastor to introduce me and give me my chance to come up and preach. And about the time he did, there was a young man come and got me by the arm and led me up the steps. At first, I wanted to say, "You whippersnapper, get your hands off me." Then I thought, no, this is nice. You've earned every bit of it. Just go ahead and accept it. Amen. These steps are getting higher. They're a lot higher now than when I was 48. 84, 48. They're a lot higher now. Somebody said, I noticed you've been holding the handrail. Yeah, that's the safe thing to do anymore. But people will humor you a little bit. They'll help you out just a little bit, and they'll accept your excuses better, young folks. They'll say, well, excuse him. He's getting old. Amen? But I just want to say this. People will humor you. That's not so bad to get old. And then you'll be, as you get older, you realize I've tried the promises of God, and they're real. Amen. They're real. I mean, I know by experience what I used to know by theory. What I used to know by faith, now I say, hey, I've been through that. God is capable. God is able. God will. And how wonderful it is. Psalms 90, we're still in Psalms. Go over to Psalms 90 with me. And this kind of describes, I guess, where I'm at right now. If I go over here to Psalms 90, look at verse 10. It says, the days, are you there? I want you to see it now. Psalms 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 80 years. Now, a score is 20. And 10. Add 10 to 60, you got 70, right? Amen. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80, which is 80, yet is their strength in labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. You ever hear the song, and we shall fly away? And then what the text says, we fly away. You see, getting old's not so bad because you're closer to flying away. You're closer to being with the Lord. And if it be death, okay. If it's the rapture, that's even better. Much better than the undertaker choking you, putting your tie on, amen. Just going up in the rapture. But with all joking aside, God's promises, I've tried a few of them. I've proved them. And so it's not so bad to get old, because I can stand up here and say, yes, God is able. God means what he says what he means, and he can do what you ask him to do. I can give that testimony tonight. You know, getting a little older helps you to evaluate things a little better. Young people, listen, as you get older, you find out there's some things just not worth waiting in line for. Amen. There's just some things you don't have to do that again. Isn't that wonderful? You just get a little bit wiser about some of those things. You really can. And getting a little older is not so bad, because the purpose of life has been realized. I heard Colin say a while ago, we hadn't done this before. I remember when I stood, the same thoughts and fears in my heart that he was expressing to you tonight, because I hadn't been down that road before. Now I'm telling you, I've not only been down the road, I'm pretty close to the end of it. But I'd look back and say, God is good, even in the valley, as Leo was singing, God is good. And now I know it by experience as well as by faith. Amen. So if you like me tonight, and you're getting a bunch of birthdays stacked up, and you're afraid the stack's getting so tall they're going to fall over, don't worry about it. It's okay. God's still in charge, and we want to be a testimony right on to the end of the road, because his purpose has been realized. I remember as I answered the call to preach and took my first church, and when I came here and all of that, I remember wondering, fearing somewhat, how's it going to turn out? How's it going to be? Well, I can sure stand here tonight and tell you God's been good. And he is blessed. And he's kept his word. He's kept his promises. And I would be a real ingrate if I didn't give God praise for all his grace and all the glory and all the victories. Even in the valley, we've had some great victories around here for many, many years. And it's good to see the purpose has been realized as we look back. And I'm just saying, don't worry if the birthdays are coming. God's in charge of every bit of them. You know what the psalmist said over in Psalms 37? He said, I have been young And now I am old, and I haven't seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Psalms 37:25. You ought to have that one marked. That's one you ought to claim. And that's a testimony the psalmist is giving. I have been young. Like David said, God was with me in my youth. David, you know, that slew the giant. God had to be with him. God was with him in his youth. But then David is an old man, still writing psalms, looking back on his life, still praising God and giving testimony that the one that protected me from the lion and the bear and the giant, he also saw me right on through. And folks, you ought to get a hold of that. It'll bring you, I tell you what it'll do, it'll bring you a peace that passes the understanding of the world, a peace that comes from knowing your course. Maybe you're about to the end of the course. Maybe you run your course like Paul. You're about to finish up. You fought a good fight. Wonderful, wonderful. But it's wonderful to know I stayed in bounds with the Lord. I stayed on his track. I stayed by proving his love and his promises. I didn't jump the fence and go out wild. I stayed with the Lord, and by his grace he kept me. That's a wonderful truth, and it brings a peace that comes. I'm in the Psalms here. Psalms 91. I won't read it all, of course, but I want you to look at it just a minute. Psalms 91, only got about 16 verses. Says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. This psalm goes on down to verse 16. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, I can say that. Many of you remember Dr. J.B. Buffenden. He was here when the Lord called him on to heaven, and a few years later called his wife Betty. But I knew him from way back, and Brother Buffenden was a World War II veteran. He flew all those big bombers in the bombing raids and all in World War II. He got out of the war and went to the Bible College at Tennessee Temple, became a preacher, and then pastored the great church in Lakeland for so many years, Calvary Baptist. And as he felt he could no longer do that, he came on over here and worked with us a little bit in the college, and I had him preach here, and he finished out his life here. J.B. and Betty were a great testimony for the Lord. But when I look at Psalms 91, their story always comes to mind every time I look at this psalm. Because when Brother J.B. went into the army, he and Betty had met. They'd become sweethearts. They wanted to get married, but the war had intervened. And so he went into the military. Of course, she stayed home. But Psalms 91 was something that the two of them coveted together with. They made a commitment to each other that every night that he would be able to get back from a flight or whatever in the barracks, every night at a certain time, they would coordinate the difference in the hours on their time, on their watches. And at the same time, she would go to Psalms 91 and read it. And he'd go to Psalms 91 and read it, or across the ocean, the battlefield. And they'd be reading that psalm and claiming the promises in it. A lot of promises in it. So many times, verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Claiming those promises. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And right on down to the end where it says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Their story is that he came home safely. He was in those raids when shrapnel flew through the planes and men were wounded. And yet he told me one time, he said, I never deviated from my course. I always did the job. Said, my plane come home shot up sometime, but God brought us home. And they claimed that psalm together. And when he got out of the service, of course, they got married and they went to Bible school and later became a pastor and wife of doing a great work for God. I thought about that last verse of Psalms 91. With long life, God gave them long life. They had a great ministry. And I thought about that. Folks, you know, we sang the song about the promised land where we'll never grow old. Okay, fine, but growing old is not as bad as you think. So if some of you have been a little bit too sympathetic with me today, don't worry about it. I'm not hurting that bad. My wife don't like to hear about how old I'm getting because she don't want to be married to an old man, but I'm joking at her a little bit right now. But the truth of the matter is, it's all right. God's in charge. You let him be in charge in your youth. Let him be in charge all the way until it does become old age. And the birthdays keep piling up. It's okay. Nothing to fear. God's in charge. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he can take you all the way through. And he promises that he will. And he does. And so, some of us folks are a little older, we can stand up and give testimony. Yeah, I've been young. Now I am old. But I haven't seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed, his children, begging bread. That's the promise of God. Tonight, I would have regrets in the sense I wish I'd have done a better job, but I am so glad I kept trying and didn't quit. And if it gets on down to the end, and I don't know when that might be, somebody around here was a little word. They said, well, I don't know whether I want to keep giving to that church or not. The preacher's about to die. Well, I don't know if I'm about to die or not. You may die before I do. Better watch that stuff. Amen. You just keep on serving God because it's not the preacher. It's the Lord God you serve. Amen. Keep that in mind. Always keep that in mind. It's his church, not mine. And so God is still in charge. And I'll tell you this, you won't go wrong by trusting him. Tell you that by faith, because I believe the word, but I tell you by experience, you'll never go wrong trusting the Lord. Father, we thank you for the few moments together tonight in the Psalms. The Lord, they're so precious, so real. I thank you, Father, that I can share that kind of testimony. I thank you for others like Brother Buffington and others that I've seen it prove out in their life. Now, Father, tonight in our midst, there might be somebody that don't know the Lord Jesus, and they fill with fears. They fear the future. They fear their health breaking. They fear the years coming. I pray, Father, you speak to their hearts tonight and let them know that they can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be not only their Savior, but also be their guide and take care of them through life. Bless, Father, in the invitation tonight. I don't know who you might be speaking to. I don't know who might want to join a church or come for some other reason, but especially, Father, if there's one here without Jesus, we pray for their soul. Their soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. We pray for them to come and receive Christ, who's the only way to be saved. May you bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.